Thank you so much, and also thank you, team, for all the work that you did. Will you join me now in prayer? Loving Spirit of Wisdom, our best eternal friend and companion, one who calls us to see life differently, to see the world differently through the eyes of another, one who tells us, whispers to us, speaks to us through others, or like the Magi leaving Bethlehem, reveals to us in dreams and visions that there is always another way home, another way to get where we are going, another way to find what we seek, another way to reach our authentic self, our best self, a self liberated from oppressive systems, distractions, and our own destructive impulses. Grant us an awareness of your presence moving in us, around us, and through us as we journey forward together. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. So, this is the place where Jesus says, "Woe be unto you gay people, you bisexuals and you lesbians. Woe be unto you trans and gender non-binary people." No, wait. That's not what it says. Not what it says at all.
Oh, good.
It's woe to, wait, let's see. Woe to the rich. Yes, that's it. Woe to the rich. And woe to the ones who are full and satisfied. Wow, that sounds a little socialist, don't you think? For goodness sake, Jesus had more commentary on the rich, more issue with the wealthy, those who foster economic disparity, the self-righteous, the comfortable, the less than humble, and the ones who always have to be first, and the ones who always have to win. These are the things that Jesus preached about. These are the things that got his attention. And yet the people who say and do these things are often the very people who seek to wield the persona of Jesus like a weapon, completely ignoring his teachings and wielding the idol of Jesus, not the concept of Jesus' teachings, but what they want Jesus to be, not who he was. They have created an image of him, one that suits their own perspectives and beliefs, one that's contrary to all of his teachings. And in this, they are not very different from his disciples of old, who invariably misunderstood him, each fitting him into their own expectations of what he was all about. Jesus also said, "Woe be unto those who have mastered and manipulated public opinion and popularity through falsehoods." There is nothing about the GLBTIQQ communities anywhere in the teachings of Jesus. Quite the contrary. We are among those along the social margins, those that he always sought to move toward the center of attention, to bring together into community, to be healed from separation. The only woe that comes to us is the woe from the world in which we live, the world which cannot seem to leave us alone. My goodness, the same system that granted same-gender marriage is now being used to attempt to repeal it. In a concerted effort, Republican lawmakers in Tennessee, Kansas, and the day before Valentine's Day in North Carolina introduced legislation to ban same-gender marriage in their states. Legislation which, if passed, will trigger the process to eventually carry the issue back to the Supreme Court, whose ideological perspective has shifted since the last ruling that legalized marriage for all. We humans live too much in absolutes. We think the way things are is the way things are. But things can be different depending on how we look at them, how we see them. In one of my favorite quotes, Eric Heller said, "Be careful how you see the world. It is like that." We form a construct from our viewpoint and our perspective, and then we begin to fit the world into it. How you see the world from where you are standing, especially your location, matters a great deal. Especially when you consider that's not how everyone sees the world. Some people do not believe that trans people exist, gender non-binary people, or even bisexuals exist if they themselves have never experienced it. If it's not in their world, then it doesn't exist as far as they're concerned. They pay no attention to it, or they rally against it in opposition. And if we are to learn anything in life, we must use our own experience of prejudice and oppressive systems to support the liberation of others who live beyond our experience. The passage we heard today is called the Sermon on the Plain. Not the airplane. Okay, the plane. And it is notably similar to the much longer or more detailed Sermon on the Mount, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Sermon on the Mountain, Sermon on the Plain. Different perspective on the same thing. Now, the synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are like that. They're called synoptic because, well, syn, meaning together, and optic, meaning view. Synoptic, because the synoptic Gospels often parallel or describe similar moments in the ministry of Jesus, similar but in different ways. They were written by different communities in different times and even from different social locations, some Jewish, some Gentile. Scholars believe that the Sermon on the Plain could have been a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus came down the mountain, or a totally different scene or moment, since it is very likely that Jesus spoke to the same issues in many different places. Now, regardless, Jesus is calling attention to the poor, the hungry, the sad, the hated, the ones called evil, the scorned and the insulted. Jesus is valuing, validating, and affirming them, giving them his attention and the attention of God in the form of a blessing. Blessing these that others would just as soon ignore completely or marginalize through hate and prejudice. Now, I wondered for a moment why Jesus said, "Woe to you who laugh now." But then I had to think, has Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor and hungry"? Perhaps some of the people in the crowd were indeed laughing right in that moment, because that statement seems ridiculous on the surface. There is also the shifting perspective for us, the gospel, the good news. Well, that the good news is bad news, depending on where you stand. We can easily find ourselves indicted by these words. And maybe that's not such a bad thing, if we are willing to shift our perspective and see the world from another location. You hear me talk about different Bible translations frequently, which are nothing but different perspectives, different ways of looking at the same thing, different ways that can mean all the difference in the world. The Amplified Bible, which makes reference to various meanings of words in their original language. This helps to bring out all shades and aspects of what was being said. And it really opens up the passage. For example, the first line, second paragraph of your reading today in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, "Blessed, happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from your outward condition. And to be envied, are you poor and lowly, destitute of wealth, influence, position, and honor? For the dominion of God is yours." What a shift in perspective, which I believe grants us a better idea of the wisdom that Jesus was seeking to impart. Or the Message Bible, translated from the original languages by Eugene Peterson, using contemporary language and idioms, the same passage. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's dominion is there for the finding. A totally different perspective of the very same words. And so, different translations provide us with a greater view, a wider perspective, like the difference between a flat photograph and one that you can use your cursor to move around in and almost step into. Three-dimensional. Different translations provide us with that multi-dimensional view or a multi-dimensional perspective of the Bible, one which teaches us very clearly that the Bible says is a very complicated phrase. Commercial. BibleGateway.com is an amazing resource. If you're not using it, you're missing something. You can have almost 60 easily searchable English Bible translations at your fingertips for free. Back in my day, we had to buy the Bibles. Heather will tell you, I have a couple of Bible shelves.
Shelves and shelves.
Now you can find it with the push of a button. So if you're not using it, you're missing something. In fact, if people would just pay more attention to what the Bible actually says and to follow what the Bible says rather than spending time saying, "The Bible says," we would be in such a much better place. Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi in the wisdom tradition. His teachings encourage us to look at things differently, to look at the world in new ways with a different perspective, to step outside of our viewpoints and beyond our opinions and beliefs, to understand this is how it is, may not be how it is at all. Or said another way, by the prophet Hornsby, the man in the silk suit hurries by as he catches the poor old lady's eye and just for fun he says, "Get a job." That's just the way it is. Some things never change. That's just the way it is. But don't you believe them. The wealthy are blessed. That's just the way it is. But don't you believe them. There is another way. I think wisdom is what we get when we look at things differently. Wisdom is what we get when we don't accept that's the way it is. Wisdom is what we get when we give something our full attention. Jesus was calling attention to those people and those things that others never saw, simply because they believed they had already seen everything that there was to see. Jesus was saying, more here than meets the eye. More here than meets your eye. I don't think wisdom emerges from absolutes, but rather from possibilities, from other ways. From other ways of looking at things, wisdom emerges from paying attention. Alexandra Billings, who spoke here a few weeks ago, said, "They, those who oppress the GLBTIQ communities, they don't know us. They don't see us." Ultimately, this fragmentation, this separation, needs to be healed. It needs to be made whole again. That's the root word of heal, halen, whole, one. I also think this is encouragement for us to shift our own perspective, to find our own blessings. Now, I look back through my writings this week, not because I was bored, but because I was having difficulty. And I found my own blessings. If you'll bear with me, I'll share them with you. Happy and blessed are those who are born GLBTIQQ into families who revile and persecute them, for they shall discover the true meaning of family among those that they choose and those who choose them. Blessed are those who have wandered and navigated the valleys of addiction, for they shall be the light unto others. Blessed are those who live on the margins, for they shall find the beauty in the edges and in the outlines. Happy are those born different into families of sameness, for they shall reveal the holy beauty of diversity. Blessed are those who are unable to find Wi-Fi, for they shall know the joy of connection through conversation. Can I get an amen? And happy are those who have no answers, for they shall keep asking the big questions of life. We live in an evolving and dynamic society, and I believe it is wisdom that will save us and attention that will heal us and heal the separations between us. What are your blessings? Where are your places of blessing? What are the things you ignore or are afraid to look at? And are you able to see the world from a different perspective, another way? And where do you draw your wisdom from, and what are you paying attention to these days? It is my hope and prayer that as a nation, as a people, we stop and pay attention to the things that Jesus calls us to pay attention to. May this be so.